So how many of us have gone through some challenges this week? Amen. How many of you feel like at one point the enemy lied to you that God is not God? I want you to be honest. Yes? That comes and it happens. And so I told somebody, authentic worship, authentic praise comes from a hurtful heart. How true is that? Amen? It is only when we come face to face with trials and challenges that the true manifestation of God's power is made revealed to us. And when we come to that point, it is that point that our faith needs to manifest. That we need to say, God, thank you. Even in the midst of this pain, you are good. Even though things seem so challenging, you are good. We ought to thank him all the times. And I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. Thinking about this week. And I woke up this morning. I was able to go to the shower. And I had hot shower. The water was flowing very well. I jumped out of the house. And I was able to drive my car to the church. And when I got to church, Miss Darcy prepared a very delicious breakfast for the pastors. And I was still energized enough to come up here and pray with the worship team, and we spent some time fellowshipping. And I'm here. Just by the fact that I woke up this morning, it's a reason for me to say thank you, God. Amen? Amen. I eat more than 3 times a day, and I eat what I want to eat. And now if I tell my wife always asks me, what do you want me to cook for you? I'm always confused because there are a lot of varieties. So I say, well, I don't know. And she gets mad at me because I don't know what I want because there is a lot. You know, we get confused when there is a lot. I go to bed and I sleep. I'm not afraid of somebody shooting a bullet through my roof. My kids wake up in the morning, there is a school bus right in front of the door waiting for them. I go to work, I work and I come home. And I come to church and I have the freedom to lift up my hands and worship my God. And I think about places that have been devastated by war. I think about people who do not have food to eat. I think about people who do not have running water in their homes. I think about people who cannot get out, wake up in the morning, get out of their homes and walk on the street freely because there are bullets passing all over the place. I think about people who do not have a roof under their head. I think about people who walk barefooted without shoes. I think about people without clothes. And I came to this conclusion. When we take God for granted, and we do that a lot. I have been taking God for granted a lot of times. And in the American church, I'm not preaching out, I'm preaching to a church, amen? The American church has taken God for granted. We in America, we are taking God for granted every day. God has blessed us with all the good things that we need in this life. But we've been taking God for granted. We have not stopped and say, hey, God, I really realize that this is you. This is from you. People take God for granted all the time. And I want to read to you Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. Luke chapter 17. And I love this story because it is part of me. It is part of us. 17:11-19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Can you underline that word loud voice? If you don't have it in your Bible, just include it. 16. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Amen. Your faith has made you well. These are 10 people who were, I don't know how long they've been living with this disease, but you know from history that when you had leprosy in those days, you were an outcast. You were considered an outcast. You were not welcome in the community. You were not allowed to fellowship with people. You were not allowed to come closer to people who were cleansed. And the priest was the only one who had the authority to examine somebody and say, you are cleansed or you are not clean. And when Jesus met these people had leprosy. And they cry out to Jesus. They did not say, Jesus, heal us. They asked Jesus for mercy. It's the same story like blind Bartimaeus. They asked for the mercy of God, and Jesus did not say, now I command leprosy to leave you. Jesus did not say, you are healed. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, what is that? He wants to see how much their faith is in him. He wants to see if truly they believe that he can heal them. He did not say, you are healed. Now go show yourself to the priest. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And I ask the question, why did Jesus ask them to go show themselves to the priest? Again, in those days, if you had leprosy, you were not welcome. And so the priest was the only one to confirm that somebody is clean and is qualified to mingle with people in the community. And so Jesus asking them to go show themselves to the priest was one thing, faith. He wanted to see how much faith they have. And secondly, so the priest can give them the visa or the approval to mingle with people in the community. But as they were going, something happened. One of them noticed that he is clean. And he kept going. Right? The Bible says when he noticed that he was healed, he was cleansed, he turned back. And he went back to the person, the author of his healing. He went back to God. He went to praise God. He went to show his appreciation. He went to thank God and say, God, thank you for healing me. But 9 who loved, 9 who did not care about what happened or who is the source of their healing, the Bible didn't tell us whether they came back or not. And the Bible didn't say if their healing was permanent. But one thing I know is that 9 of these guys were Jewish. And so the Jewish considered that Jesus was part of them. Jesus was their guy. Jesus was their friend because they came from the same village, the tribalism thing. And they took God for granted at that point because he was part of them. And they never came back to thank God. They never returned to say, God, thank you for healing me. A lot of it is happening today. A lot of it is happening in the church. We are so quick at going to God to pray and ask. Now, 90% and let me say 80% of our prayer is asking from God. True? I've been guilty with that, 90% of the times we go to God, we are asking. It's good, but what is the motive? These people ask God to heal them, and he healed them, and they never care about going back to thank him. And when we go to God and say, God, please do this thing to me, sometimes God steps in and we say, God, thank you, I can take it from here. We've done that. I have done that. We think that it is our privilege. I mean, we think that it's an entitlement. Everything we have comes from God. And it's not an entitlement. And if you take God for granted, you will consider everything you have as an entitlement. And you will say, God is my father. He has the right to bless me. He's not obliged to bless you. Amen? He is not obliged. I know we'll not say an amen to that one. But God is not obliged to bless you. And when he does, This passage is teaching us that we need to go back to Him. Thanksgiving. How many of us will be thanking God during Thanksgiving? I look at the history. It was in the year 1612, when the pilgrims, they came together to thank God. That is so far, how far we can trace Thanksgiving history. They came together to thank God for a harvest. There was a great harvest that year. So the pilgrims and some Native Americans came together to thank God. And they were thanking God for the great harvest. It was time for fellowship. It was time to praise God. It was time to say, God, this is all you. It is not us. I wonder how many of us celebrate Thanksgiving today with Jesus absent. How many of us take God for granted? The little things that we have, we call them little. I want you to think about having water to drink all the times. How many of us have already sat down and said, God, thank you for this? Since I came to America, it's been more than 5 years now. And I think we've had electricity cut off once. You know how long? 2 days? Few minutes. And I think mine in my home, it was like 3 minutes. And it came back. How many of us flip the switch and the light comes on? We say, God, thank you for electricity. How many of us sit down and look at the little things we have? I call them little, but they are not little. That we have and say, God, thank you for these things. We think we are entitled to those things. I want to announce to you, you're not entitled to those things. They come from God. And if you think you don't have any reason to praise Him for those things, I want to challenge you with this story. You have all the reasons to praise God for life. Amen? Look at the things you have around you. And then you go to some parts of the world, go to Cameroon, go to some countries in Asia, in Africa, and come back, and you will have to repent. You will have to repent. Because we think that God is our Father, so we are entitled to these things, and He has the right to give us these things. And we don't need to thank Him. So I want to challenge you this morning, and I want to call on you to always think of the 1 minute you have to breathe again. It's a minute to say, God, thank you. It's a minute to say, this is not my life. This is the life of God, the life of Jesus being lived in me. God, thank you for life. And this morning I want to end by thanking God so, so much for His love. That is the greatest thing. I know when Krista sang and Les, I see a lot of pain in this room. But you know what? The love of God upon you is bigger than the pain in you. Amen? So if you have nothing to thank God for this morning, I want you to think about the cross. Think about the pain. Think about the suffering. Think about His blood shed for you. And I want you to thank Him. And I want to end by reading Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. To give you a reason to thank God for His love. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things, all the trials? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring us any charge? Who will bring the children of God any charge? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father, and He is interceding for you even right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Shall any of this separate us? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor the depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Nothing. And I want you to think about how deep and how magnificent that love is for you. And if you have no reason this morning to thank God, I want to say thank him for loving you. Can we just rise? And I just want you to do one thing for me. Just lift up your hands. Just lift it up and feel his love. Embrace his love. Just embrace his love. More of his love in this place. And can you just thank him? Just say one word, God, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. We do not want to take you for granted. And if there is any repentance that needs to be happen, let it happen now. If God is calling on you to repent from taking him for granted, I want you to just ask him to forgive you. As we do this song, Pastor Ted is going to come out and finish the rest of the service.